Turn me to Psalms, the 19th chapter. Tonight I want to deal with the intellect and reasoning. Deal with that aspect of the soul. Now, this is the part of the soul that can really get us in trouble. It's the intellect and reasoning. Thinking, or your intellect, use your intellect. Obviously, God wants us to think. Because if he didn't want us to think, then he wouldn't have gave us this part of our soul. Our intellect and our reasoning is the thing that puts, is the thing that adds to our imagination. We haven't got the imagination yet, but it's the thing that adds to our imagination to cause us to be a creator like God. So that's where you get inventions from. People imagine things, but then it's their intellect and reasoning that begins to tinker with things and cause creations to come. That's where inventions come from. But here in Psalms, the 19th chapter, it shows us that our intellect that comes from God and how wonderful God is with his intellect. So we see in Psalms, the 19th chapter, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. It's talking about God and how he created heaven and earth. His intellect came, the world, the sun, all that came out of God's imagination, but it was intellect that put everything in place. Law of gravity, did all those things. Oxygen comes from God and his intellect and him thinking these things out. So obviously God has a mind. All right, that's number one. God has a mind and he's intelligent. So intelligent beyond reason. And so because we're made in his image, we have a right to be intelligent. And we have the right to use our intellect. Is this making sense? Go with me to Isaiah 1:19, or rather 18. Here's God talking. And he said, come now and let us what? Reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins or your actions be as scarlet, meaning they may be going the wrong direction, but after we get through reasoning, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It was going to be smooth. Here is God giving us an invitation to come think with him. See, there's nothing wrong with thinking. It's thinking without God is the problem. God said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. When we look at that passage of scripture, God was talking to a group of people that couldn't get his thoughts and his ways. He wasn't talking to us. If that's the case, then how can Jeremiah 29:11 be so plausible? I know the thoughts. If his thoughts are higher than ours and I can't get to them, then it's impossible for me to know his thoughts. So anytime we reason with God, our intellect increases. Anytime we reason with God, our intellect increases. You know, I started listening to a gentleman and his ministry is really geared to going into college campuses and really answering the hard questions that they have. Because on a college campus, you know, you can run into all sorts of type of intellects. I mean, on the college campus, they talking some far off stuff. It just be out there. And so his ministry, he goes in and he takes the hard questions that these people are asking, and very simply, and God touches him and touches his intellect in a way that I've never seen before. He's able to answer all those pagan gods. His name is Ravi Zachariah. Brilliant. And one of the things that I learned from him is that it's okay for people to ask questions. God don't mind us asking him questions. It's just that when he give us the answer, we can't decide we don't like it. Y'all know that's Bible, right? That's James 1:5. Go there. That's James 1:5. Go there. When you ask questions, questions give a connotation of pursuit. So, you know, matter of fact, when you run a reference on the word ask in the New Testament, and it's pertaining to ask God, we asking God for something, is always pertaining to asking him about his will, what he wants, what he's thinking. A lot of people preach that we can ask for what we want. But when you read, wherever it says, ask what you will and it should be done, given unto you, read that whole passage. Because it's not talking about giving you what you want. It's about what you want being converted to what he wants. Then when you ask for what you want, you're really asking what he wants, because what you want is what he wants. And what he wants is what you want. Is this making sense? Yes, sir. So when you reason with God, you're really getting his intelligence from the creator on how creation is supposed to go. And so when creation is not operating like the creator designed it, then we have a right to go to the creator, reason with him, and our intellect increases on how to deal with the creation. Is that making sense? So here it is. Watch this. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But watch what we say, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what James is saying? James is really saying that God don't mind you asking him questions. But when the answer comes and you weren't expecting that answer, you can't turn around and say, well, God, I'm going to unask the question. You got to go with it now. And a lot of times, we don't properly use our intellect the way God designed it. See, God always positions us to figure things out. But what happens is we try to figure things out under our limited thinking. He don't mind us figuring things out. Look, I'll give you an example. Joshua at the wall of Jericho. Now, he know God done told him, I've given you this land for the inheritance. This is y'all land. But there's a wall so wide, two chariots can run side by side on it. That's how wide the wall is. So, Lord, God, you sent me behind these walls to see what's ours. I came back with grapes. Me and Caleb did. So, God, watch this. So, God, how are we going to do this? He didn't go through the world just a way of thought process. We're going to conquer these people. We're going to get our archers, and we're going to get our battlemen. battle-tested many we go. No. He meditated with God. And God helped him figure it out. See, figuring it out doesn't mean that it's going to go according to the world system way of doing things. Because Lord knows I'd have never thought in a million years to go march around the wall 7 times. No reason, no way in the world to come up with that. Wait a minute. What if Joshua would have came to the people without God's approval and it wasn't God's idea and say, we're going to march around this wall 7 times, then he's just going to fall? We think the people that looked at him is, for real, really? But when God gave him the idea, God's word would not return unto him void. This happens over and over and over and over again in the Bible. When we reason with God, we figure things out. When we think with God, our sins become white as snow, our actions. That's what the word sins mean in that particular. Our actions become white as snow. So when we reason with God, when we put our thoughts with God and let God's thoughts wash out. Matter of fact, go to Romans 12 too. We're going to go to scripture pretty much, if not once every week when we get together. God wants us to use our intellect, but we have to use our intellect for him. Use our intellect how he designed it to be used. God, see, watch this. An intellect is not about book knowledge. It's not about book knowledge. I'm not talking about that type of intellect. I mean, if you sit there long enough and read the book, eventually you'll probably catch on to it. But I'm talking about an intellect in which God can be expressed. Not for the sake of being intelligent, just for the sake of being intelligent. I'm talking about allowing God to use your intellect to change things on this earth. It was one way yesterday. I slept. God gave me a dream. I see how to change it. That's intellect I'm talking about. I'm talking about a God-influenced intellect. I'm talking about an intellect where God infuses and downloads his thoughts into you. And so now you didn't know how to do something. Now you know how to do something. God's intellect was given to Joseph. Joseph had to plan the 7 years of prosperity because the 7 years of fame was coming. It was God's intellect that was infused into Joseph's intellect. It is possible for your intellect to be infused with God's intellect. When you talk about letting your intellect and your reasoning be infused with God's intellect and reasoning, you're talking about there's nothing nobody else can do to tie you up. When they think they got you, when they think they got you bound, God's intellect, just like Jesus. Jesus, let me show you God's intellect. Let me show you God's intellect. We're going to come back to Romans 12 and 2. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. Let me show you how God thinks. 1 Corinthians 2. Watch God's intellect. We start at verse 6. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of who? God. In a mystery. Even the hidden mystery, I mean, verse 7, even the hidden, God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And this is the scripture I want to get to, verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Now, this correlates perfectly. Because if you study the Gospels, how many times in the Gospels Jesus would heal somebody and tell them, don't tell nobody. Do you know why? You want to know why? Go to Matthew's the fourth chapter. I'll show you why. Through the intellect of God. Through the intellect of God. Then I'm going to show you Jesus' intellect. It's the same intellect that we have access to. All right? Remember now, we just read in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8, that the prince of the world would have known that it never what? Crucified the Lord of glory, right? That means just saying, all that simply saying, if the devil would have known what was going to happen when Jesus was crucified, he'd have never let it happen. Right? So this is why Jesus went through the Gospels, doing healing people and then telling them, this is why Peter, by revelation, realized who Jesus was. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Flesh and blood has not given you this intelligence, but is revealed to you by my Heavenly Father. You knew this because God told you this. You could have got this no other way. That's Peter's intelligence and intellect was infused with God's intellect to know something that nobody else would know. All right, so nobody really knew who Jesus was. Very few people knew who Jesus was. Even his own family didn't recognize who he was. All right, so he going around healing people and telling them, don't tell nobody who did this for you. All right, look at this verse in Matthew 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, look at that. Y'all see that? He said, if thou be the Son of God. In other words, Satan didn't know who. Watch this. Satan knew he was coming because it had been prophesied in the Old Testament, but he didn't know who. So here he's saying, if thou be the Son of God. Verse 6. And he said to him, if thou be the Son of God. Look at verse 9. And he said to him, all these things will I give thee if thou will fall down, if thou will fall down and worship me. All these ifs. So what he was trying to do was bait Jesus into revealing who he was. Because if he could have discovered who he was, Jesus would still be alive walking on the earth today. Because Satan knew what was going to happen once this Jesus of Nazareth, this Messiah that they've been talking about, this Lamb of God, Satan was there doing the whole Old Testament. If I let this person die, whoever he is, I know I'm going to be in trouble. So God, in his infinite wisdom, in his intellect, allowed Jesus to be born, walk the earth, and Satan never knew who he was till it was too late. That's the kind of intellect we have access to. That's who's telling us, come let us reason together. That's the one who's telling us, look, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your ways, come up to my thoughts, come up to my ways. That's the intellect we have access to. That's the intellect that wants to fuse or wants to connect with our intellect. An intellect that will put words in your mouth that you didn't know you had in you. An intellect that will express the kingdom of God in ways that you had no idea that you could express it. That's what God. So if we properly use our intellect and our reasoning for his glory, I'm going to show you, for his glory, your intelligence will go beyond book knowledge. It will go beyond the intelligentsia of the earth. Because one thing the intelligentsia of the earth can't figure out is, why are we here? What's the meaning of life? What's all the meaning of this? The Big Bang Theory, all this craziness. And it's one simple answer, God. But because they can't be the originator of intelligence, they want original thoughts. They want thoughts that will put them on a pedestal. So that's where they get all these. That's why they emphasize academics so much. That's why academics is important. Yes. If you're going to be a doctor, I'm going to need you to go to school. I don't need you guessing. I'm going to need you to be intelligent. I'm going to need you to have some book knowledge. You got me? I'm going to need you to know the difference between a kidney and a heart. That's important to me. You know, we going into the courtroom. I need you to have passed the bar exam. I don't need you guessing, saying, I think this is what the law say. I think. No. You need to have some intelligence. You get what I'm saying? But there's an intellect that God wants you to have that bypasses all that. Mm-hmm. That will bypass their limitations. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, God said, I've chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. What kind of intellect would take the foolishness of the world to confound the wise, and the wise can't argue with it? You mean to tell me you come and redeem all of mankind by letting somebody die on a cross? That's intelligence. That's infinite wisdom. All right, this is how you allow your intellect to be fused with God. We quickly go to verse 2. And we know religiously we read verse 2 and we take it, the word of God. We're going to renew our mind with the word of God. We're not conformed. We're going to renew our mind with the word of God. And we're going to read the word every day. Because we read the word every day don't mean our intellect is fusing with God. There's something that has to happen. Look at verse 1. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Now, that's funny because most sacrifices are dead. But this says living. Listen to that, internet. Living sacrifice. So that means something has to die while I'm still alive. That means it's not life I'm sacrificing because I'm living. I'm a living sacrifice. So something has to die. What is it that has to die? He says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable servant. Let's skip verse 2. Go to verse 3. Apostle Paul say, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What the Apostle Paul is saying, watch this, what he is saying is that not that we ought to have good thoughts about ourselves, but what he's really saying, I need you to kill your will. Kill your will. I need you to allow me to influence your intellect, your reasoning. So watch this. Now let's go to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So now what the Apostle Paul is saying is, I need you to kill your will so that when you read the word of God, it will begin to fuse your intellect to mine. Not just reading the word of God so I can stay out of sin. They talk about the scripture. Romans 12, 2, you renew your mind, you're going to live right. You renew your mind, you're going to be able to hold on. Oh, you're renewing your mind so that you won't take the shape of this world system. So that you don't take the shape of what's happening to everybody else in this world system. But I'm being transformed. How? By the renewing of my mind. What mind? A mind that has killed its own will and wants the will of God. That's why I can't think of myself more highly than I ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, or God dealt to every man their assignment, or their part of what God is, the kingdom of God. So when I do that, it opens me up to an intellect that will cause me to have more wisdom than any person in academia. They might have book knowledge, they might know how to manipulate the system, but I got something that controls the system. You know, I got something that'll tell me go fishing, catch a fish, and I got money in his mouth. I got access to intellect that I can take two fishes and five water loaves, multiply them. I got intellect to where I get a dream that is going to be seven fat cows, seven lean cows. I interpret the dream for the Pharaoh. Then the Pharaoh got so much confidence in me that he puts me over the plan to take care of that. So therefore, God's wisdom is constantly flowing through me. I have wisdom that there's some writing on the wall. I have access to an intellect that knows the writing on the wall. You get what I'm saying? I have intellect that I could be dropped down into a lion's den. And the lion shut up. Don't say nothing. I have intellect to create a flame-proof skin. That when I'm thrown into a fire, it don't burn. Are you seeing this? So when you fuse, this is happening here, when you fuse your intellect with God, it's not so much about how smart you are, how book knowledge and what degrees you have. It's now I'm connected to what Psalms 19, verse 1 through 4 is trying to describe. How beautiful the earth is made, how the heavens are made. I'm connected to the mind that created all that. I'm fused to that mind. When I renew my mind with the Word of God, with His words, the only purpose for the Bible is to shape your thinking. That's the only purpose for the Bible. The only purpose of the Bible is to shape your thinking. Shape your thinking so that you can be infused into the intellect of God. Is this making sense? God wants us to use our intellect. Hence, Jesus often talked in parables. He talked in parables because he wanted people to think. He didn't want them to just take at what he said. He wanted them to think about what he said. So that's why he taught in parables, so that they can have time to think about what he said and begin to apply it to their lives. Go to John, the 5th chapter. We'll close here. This is another example of Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit trying to get us past our intellect. Verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Verse 40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. So he says, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. But in searching the scriptures, there's a place he wants you to get that's beyond the scriptures. There's a place of thought that he wants you to get beyond the scriptures. That means you, watch this. When you take the word of God and shape your thoughts, then you're able to get revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is intelligence that hadn't been written down. Revelation knowledge is God's intelligence that you can't get no other way but by him speaking it to you. That's meaning, that's searching scripture for anything you think you have life. Because see, what the Pharisees used to do and the Sadducees do, they studied the law, they studied the scriptures. Go to Mark the 10th, I think it's Mark 10, Mark 10. Let me give you a prime example. Mark the 10th chapter. This is what I mean by going, this is what he means by search the scriptures. Accessing his intelligence besides just what you understand. Mark the 10th chapter, and this is the last scripture. And when he, verse 17, and when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Then he said, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they testify of me. Right? Verse 18, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Jesus is talking to him because Jesus already know from his pedigree, from this one pedigree that ran up to him. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Scriptures. Scriptures. And he said, and he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come take up the cross and follow me. Now, most people focus on the giving to the poor, sell all you have, give it to the poor. That's not the important part. The important part is, he said, and come take up the cross and follow me. The reason why Jesus told him to do that is because the reason why Jesus told him, sell all you have, give to the poor, is because when you're following me, you don't have time to be worried about all this stuff. Come take up the cross and follow me. Why? Because Jesus was trying to infuse his intellect with his. Because he knew the scriptures. Jesus was trying to get him beyond that. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they testify of me. And this rich young ruler did the exact same thing. But you won't come to me. Watch what happens. And he went, he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So here it is. The rich young ruler was trying to be, God was trying to get him to be fused with the intellect of Jesus. Because all Jesus, great master, teacher. A teacher gives you what's in their intellect. So our intellect and our reasoning, God gave them to us. And God didn't say we're not supposed to think or reason. He just don't want us reasoning without him. Because when man reason without God, they come up with frivolous thoughts. That's where all these idols come from. Because of reasoning without God. Moses left the children of Israel to go up on a mountain. By the time he came back, they worshiped a golden calf. That's their intellect. How dumb is that? How dumb is that? A God just delivered you out of Egypt, and you're going to take the gold that he gave you to create an idol that you can worship. You ain't this idol ain't delivered you out of nothing. You made the idol. So the thoughts of man without God always lead to idols. It leads to idols. It leads to foolishness. It leads to stuff that God ain't never designed for man to be involved with. So our intellect, when you kill your will and you begin to infuse your intellect with God, you're going to have wisdom that nobody will be able to stop, nobody will be able to do anything about. And watch this, we need this intellect. The reason why we need this intellect is because originally, one of the fallacies, one of the great falsehoods of Christendom is that everybody trying to, they're trying to recreate Eden. They're trying to get back to Eden. Adam and Eve were never supposed to stay in Eden. They never supposed to stay in Eden. Eden was just training ground. Eden was training ground. God was training them to go face the darkness. He was trying to give them his intelligence so they can go face the darkness. So we need God's intelligence. We need his reasoning because we're designed to face darkness. It don't make no sense for light to go to light. Light don't need light. Darkness needs light. So watch this. So now, wherever we at in our walk of life, when we walk in our walk of life and we begin to face darkness, we need the same intelligence that called light out of darkness. Let there be light. That same intelligence we have access to. So equate it to every situation you face that's dark. I need the same intelligence that faced all of darkness and said, let there be light. I have access to that same intelligence, that same reasoning, so I can speak to my situation and say, let there be light. I'll see y'all next week. Good night.